Okay. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to continue on with our study of pioneering faith. You know, we studied a couple Sundays ago that there are three kinds of people basically in this world. There's museum keepers who are content with dusting the memorials of the past. Then we had settlers who are content to stay in their comfort zone. And then we have these pioneers who are constantly pressing into new territories. You know, people on average don't like change. People don't like things to be different. You know, how many of you put your coffee cup in the same place every morning? How many of you get upset if your keys aren't put in the same place every morning? How many of you get upset when the husband doesn't put the toilet seat down? You don't like change. You don't like surprises. You notice people seem to sit in the same places at church every time. They don't like things different. I got news for you. There's going to be a whole bunch of things that are different. And regardless of where you are geographically, there's going to be challenges there too. Regardless of where you are, anywhere in this world, there's great changes that are going to happen. Whether you like to believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, these changes are going to happen. So you just, well, get a hold of the spirit of faith and embrace this change and see what new and exciting things God offers up for us in this next millennium that we're about to enter into. You just, well, get used to it. You're not going to the old normal. And you're not going to the new normal, what people are trying to push. You're going to the new thing of God, what He's doing, what He's already established. Do we know how it's going to be? No. Do we know how we're going to get there? No. Do we know what we got? No. You don't know nothing. You know God is your Father, and Jesus is your Savior, and you are to follow Him. Amen? Now, look at Mark. Well, before we get there, we talked last Sunday about Abraham, and he was called to leave his country and his family. Pick up and go into this new place. Be a sojourner. Go out there. Find this new land. Go out there and live out there. All these exciting things. Leave your family behind. And Abraham did everything perfectly, right? No, he didn't. He drug Lot along. His nephew. That's family, isn't it? He was supposed to stay back. But what I want to point out here, though, is don't worry if you make a mistake. Don't worry if you think you might be going to make a mistake. Follow God, and He'll fix it. Amen? See, you got to get that Old Testament religion out of your head, where you got to do everything absolutely perfect, or God can't bless you, or you got to do everything absolutely right, or this is going to happen to you. That's Old Testament. God is your Abba Father, and He loves you unconditionally. How many of you that raised kids were teaching them how to walk, and you walked them to the couch a couple times, and then the third time you stood him up and said, "Now, Junior, I've showed you this twice. You get it right or you're out the door." How many of you did that? Not one of you. And we haven't even experienced the love of God the way He wants us to experience it. And you, as a loving parent, wouldn't do that to your kid. How much more the Lord God, who sacrificed His Son for you. Don't think that God loves you because He sacrificed Jesus for you. It was because He loved you that He sacrificed Jesus for you. Amen? He loved you so much that He paid the ultimate price. It's the love of God that will build your faith in Him. It's the love of God that will see you through this new and exciting adventure. Now, if you latch on to this, tomorrow is going to be an exciting day. If you don't, then tomorrow is going to be filled full of fear. How many of you can change anything about worrying about it anyway? You're worried about something that you don't know how to fix. So you just will get in the spirit of faith and say, "Okay, you know, God's got 100% track record of bringing me through hard times. So we'll just see how He does it this time." Amen? Mark chapter 1, verse 17. As Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed Him. That's a curious couple of verses there I want you to look at. Because people are faced with this all the time. They say, "I want to be used by God. Use me to do the greater things. I want to do the cool things." And they say, "Man, I want to be a service to God. I want to be used by God." So God says, "Okay, go over here and do this." And they say, "Well, I've got a mortgage. I've got to work. I got bills to pay. I can't go over there." See, people want to be used at their convenience. It said right there, they forsook their nets. That means they forsook their livelihood. They dropped everything. Did you notice it doesn't say anything about them going and checking in with mama? He said, "Disco." They dropped everything and they went. See, if you want to be used by God, the biggest thing to qualify yourself is to say, "I'm available." Now, being available, you're going to have to confront your flesh. Because to truly be available means you'll go to town when it's an inconvenient time. You'll go over here when it's an inconvenient time. "Well, I wanted to go do this." Yeah, but There's somebody over here that needs witness to. But I wanted to do this. But I need you to do this. But I got these bills to pay. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I wanted to go have fun. Are you available? See, that's something that you'll have to work out with yourself. Are you truly available to the gospel? It's easy to say, use me, God. I got my hand in there. Pick me. But in case you haven't noticed, when you're sitting in church service, that's usually not the time he calls you. A lot of times it's in the middle of the night. Or it's on Saturday afternoon, just a little bit before you want to go to the movies. Or that cool special you've been waiting for on TV is about to happen. Or the barbecue you was planning on going to. He says, hey, I need you to come over here and talk to this guy. Yeah, I know him. He's an idiot. I got ribs on the... No, that's not how it works. Turn the smoker off and go witness to this guy. See what I'm talking about? Being available. These guys dropped everything. They followed him. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. It's at the end of the, after they talked about the hall of faith, which you might call all these exploits these people did by faith. Look at verse 14. It says, for they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. See, there's a lot of folks that have been called out to go into the ministry, or go on some mission, or go on some adventure that God called them to go on to. They pick up and they go out in faith. And they get to where they were going and things weren't exactly the way they thought they was going to be. And there were challenges that they didn't know about. And there was things they didn't know, they didn't plan on. So they picked back up and they went back home. They said, well, it wasn't God. No, it was God. I've heard that a whole bunch of times. So we got there and things weren't working out the way we planned and this wasn't right and this didn't happen and it just wasn't God and we just came back home. No, it was God and the devil threw some friction in your face and you turned back and came back home. That's happened a lot. If they just stand there for a little bit and let God things work things out. Let God work things out. They'd see some glorious things. You're not going to ever figure it out. But what God wants you to do is get out there where you don't have the answers, where you don't have the resources, where you don't have the talent, and you don't have the ability. And you start to wonder if you even have the faith. And it looks like you're going to sink, and he steps in and opens doors that you didn't even know were there. And you walk through them doors, and things happen, and you look there, and you say, well, only God could have made that happen. I didn't even have any idea that was possible. He wants you to get out there where it's only Him that can complete the job, so only He can get the glory. Amen? It takes faith to forsake. You know, when you leave home, you're leaving everything that's familiar to you. You know, your contacts are gone. Everything that's familiar is gone. You're going to a new place that nobody knows you. You're going to have to trust in God. We're all going to a new place. Even if we sit right here in Fort Davis, we're going to a new place. You just won't get excited about it. And it's going to be really different. And you can't stop it. It's going to happen. You just want to embrace it. It takes faith to forget the past. This is a big thing. This is a big thing. Too many people let their past dictate their future. You got to let it go. Now, there may be some terrible things that have happened to some people. And it'll be only the blood of Jesus. Only Jesus can heal those deep hurts inside of people. Now, He said that He would heal those. The Bible says that He would mend your shattered souls. But He wants you to be happy, joyous, and free in this life. And the only way we can do that is to let Jesus come inside of us and heal that. I mean, you have to deal with your past. You know, sometimes people bury things deep inside of them. And they don't ever want that to come to the surface. But it's those deep, dark secrets inside of a person that keep them in everlasting bondage. If you let Jesus shine light on that, that dark thing will go away. And His healing will step in and take you forward. But you have to let Him do it. You ever notice that picture of Jesus where He's knocking on the door? Did you notice that there's not a doorknob on that door on the outside? He can't let Himself in. You have to let Him in. You have to invite Him in. And you're the only one that can do that for you. And it takes faith to follow. It takes faith to follow Jesus. Sometimes I would get called. I noticed early on, these pastors would call me and say, "Hey, there's a guy that needs witness to down here." And I started noticing that if there was a chance at getting a bloody nose or a fat lip, I'd get called. So I was going into some pretty rough parts of town. And I'd go down there and I'd witness to these people. And I noticed there wasn't any long lines of preachers wanting to be there. But I was available. I was available. And then pretty soon, cool things started happening. And then pretty soon, I was available to bigger and better things. And then pretty soon, He'd use me for some really fun and exciting things. Why? Well, I was available. I could drop what I was doing and I could go do. Well, you just didn't have. Yeah, I did have a mortgage. Yes, I did have a job. Yes, I did have bills. I was in debt up to my neck. Yeah, I owed a lot of money. Yes, I had a lot of responsibility. But I chose to be available. That means when the phone rings, you drop what you're doing and you go do what needs to be done in the kingdom. That's being available. Not at your convenience, but at His calling. Amen? So I missed out on a few cool things, but I took part in a whole bunch more really, really cool things. Lots better than the barbecue I might have missed. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's going to take faith to follow Him. But here's the thing, if you keep looking back, you won't go forward. You cannot go forward looking back. Holding on to the past is not going to propel you into the future. Holding on to the way we used to do things isn't going to get things done in the future. The spirit of faith will take you in there, and it'll be a lot more comfortable. It'll be a lot more relaxing for you if you just say, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going. We're going to do it. And I'm going to cast this care over onto you, Jesus, because you're the only one that's man enough to take it. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God was telling these people, don't get stuck in the past. We got a whole new thing. Impossible things. Great thing. How about a river in the desert? How about that? Well, we get faced with these new realities all the time. There's fixing to be a great big one. You just want to embrace it and watch God work things out in your life in ways that you never even imagined. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't holding on to the past. He kept reaching forward to new things in Christ Jesus. That's the same way we're called to be. The past is gone. You can't do nothing about that. It is what it is. Now, if you can go back and make amends for maybe something that you've done, do that. But don't you spend another second worrying about the past. Go forward in Christ Jesus. Make today the best day that you can make it. It's full of excitement. If you'll do that, your future will start looking brighter and brighter and brighter every day. Always know that God wins. And you're with Him. You know, Paul, when he said this, he was in prison. That's what you might call a positive thinker. And the prisons that we had today are like Hilton hotels to the ones they had then. And you got to understand that the same people that crucified Christ were the same people that had Him in prison. See, He wasn't worried about the future. He knew the future was great. And He didn't regret the past. He was living the day. You only get one day. You know, if the sun comes up and you get up, that's your day to live. You just will make it the best one that you can. We're not promised tomorrow. And there's nothing you can do about yesterday. And He did say that He would satisfy us with a long life and show us His salvation. So you better embrace that. But if you go wandering out this door and get ran over by a wild moped, and end up in the arms of Jesus, you won. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One of the biggest fears that people have is money. Well, what if I don't have enough money? What if we run out of money? What if we don't have enough money to finish this job? What if we don't have enough money to do this? What, you know, if God can feed His prophet at a brook, give him water, have a raven, bring food to him every day, if God can have quails fly out into the wilderness every day, make manna fall from heaven every day. That's all in the Old Testament. How much more do you think that He can supply all your needs? And it's according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, that's a big thing. If He gives you $100, it hasn't taken nothing out of Him. He can give you $100, and He can give you $100, give you $100. Now, if I gave you $100, it took it out of my riches. So then I can give you $100 and then pretty soon I'm going to be out of riches. But not God. Because it's according to his riches. Not out of his riches, according to his riches. So you don't have to be mad because one guy gets blessed and you didn't. Look at him and say, well, praise God. God's still in the blessing business. He blessed him. He'll bless me because he's not a respecter of persons. Amen? Sometimes Christians get jealous of one another. They see somebody get blessed and they say, well, that guy, he's not as good as me. I do this and I do that, and he just kind of floats along. Well, there's your problem right there. You're being legalistic and self-righteous. That guy was believing God for it, and he was trying to earn it. If you'll just believe God for it and receive it, you'll be rolling along too. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the forbearance of the gospel. Paul didn't worry about anything because it's way he figured it was going to help the gospel. If he got beat up, he got beat up, and he figured it advanced the gospel. You know, he got drowned, he got chased by wild animals, he got whipped, he got stoned, he got beaten, he got imprisoned. He just said, it was for the furtherance of the gospel. It's all right. I'm not worried about it. Nowadays, if somebody says a bad thing about a Christian, they have a deep burning resentment in their heart for 6 months. Paul, he just said, yeah, whatever. It's a thing. And he went forward. Don't get hung up in the past. Go forward. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for everything that he continues to do for us as our high priest, standing at the right hand of God. And we thank you, Father, for everything that he will do for us when he completes our redemption, as we see him face to face. And Father, you've blessed us with one of the greatest expressions of your love. And it's called the Holy Communion. We thank you that as we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing in our bodies. We know that it's by his stripes that we were healed. Father, we thank you that we can receive it miraculously all at once, or we can receive it a little bit at a time. But as we take this communion, Father, we're going to take it by faith, and we're going to receive everything that you expect us to receive. In Jesus' name. When we look unto Jesus and we discern his body, God wants you to see that sacrifice. He wants you to look, he wants you to see Jesus on that cross as the Bible describes it. A man without comeliness. You couldn't even recognize him as a human. He was so tore up, so beat up, and so tore up that the Roman soldier could not recognize him as being a man. That's what God wants you to see. He wants you to see those stripes in his back. Those stripes are for your healing. He wants you to see his broken body. He wants you to see the bruises. He wants you to see how every sin and the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took it all. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. In his broken body, it was all for us. We received our healing. That blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. Nothing man has ever created could ever be more powerful than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has done things that no man has ever figured out how to do. It took your sins and washed them away, made you white as snow in the eyes of God. You are absolutely sinless in his eyes. In fact, when he looks at you, he looks at the sacrifice. He sees Jesus. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you're in right standing with God. And you can come boldly into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, and receive grace and mercy in a time of need. You can go in there as if nothing ever sinned, nothing has ever happened, because you've been justified freely by his grace. We thank you. Here you go. Well, all right. We have, yeah. Jump up here.
So last night, God gave me a word for 2022, and he said to share it. So I was planning on sharing it on our ministry YouTube channel until you pretty much talked about everything that he had me write down last night. So I'm going to share it here. So I had my notebook, and there was watercolor flowers all over the side. So I was just admiring the beauty and the colors of the flowers. And as I was kind of meditating on just the beauty that God creates, he says, I created those colors. I created all the beauty in all things and in you. Not just me, but you, because this is for all of us. Let them out. Let them shine. Stop holding it in. Let the world see. Share what I have shown with you in love. Love one another. Be there for one another in spirit and in truth. Let go of the past, for it doesn't belong in what you and I are going to do in the future. Let it all go, and I will fully heal you from it. When the enemy tries to bring it up to you, rebuke it and speak my word like a sword into the atmosphere. Let it kill the evil thoughts and its seeds. Speak life. Parasites come from bad seeds, so keep proclaiming life. Life heals, it restores, it rids what the eyes can't see. My word is life. Get in it and stay in it. 2022 will be a year of change. It will be a year of condolences for those who do not stay in me. And it will be a year of victory and success, moving on to greater and different and new things for those who choose to stay in me. Do not fear what is to come, because it's necessary to catapult you into what I have planned.
I receive that as coming from God. We've taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And That's how it's designed to operate. That is the word of prophecy. And it is done in order. God is not the author of confusion. Don't be afraid. If God gives you a word, then let me know. I'll acknowledge it. And we'll go forward. Amen. Don't, however, jump off your chair and grab that chandelier and start speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor. That ain't going to happen. I do encourage speaking in tongues with a translation. Amen. I encourage those things. But they will be in order, and they will not be chaotic. But that is the way you do that. Amen? Okay, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here, and everybody's welcome to come back and have some. In Jesus' name.